Welcome back to Classical Guitar Insider. This is your host, Brett Williams. Today on the show, it's Guido Sanchez. Now, he's got an excellent story about how he came into his position as the founder and head of the guitar program at the University of Illinois, where this was recorded, of course, at the Elnora Guitar Festival, proud sponsor of the show. Elnora Guitar Festival presents multiple genres in four locations in one space called the Cranford Center for the Performing Arts. It's headed up by Mike Ross. It takes place every 2 years at the University of Illinois. And Guido shares with us about the steps that he took to get what is more or less a pretty coveted position. And I don't want to go into it too much because we talk about it in detail during the show, and I don't want to spoil it. The show is sponsored by Savage Classical. That's S-A-V-A-G-E classical.com. You can go there, and Richard will hook you up with the guitars of your dreams right there in Bayshore, New York. And we're also sponsored by Casper. What is it? CasperTrial.com/insider? Yeah, CasperTrial.com/insider. I need you to go buy a mattress. I know it's expensive. I know it's something that you might not have been thinking about doing. But these mattresses are phenomenal. They will make you sleep for years. They will give you so... You will feel so well rested that you'll think you're in high school again. You'll think you're it's like a time machine for your body and your mind. Casper, you can pay me for that copy. A time machine for your body and mind. I am still a marketing intern for this week, but somebody quit, so it looks like I might actually have a regular job, and boy, wouldn't that be cool. It seems like a pretty chill job. It seems like something, you know, you can kind of do, and, you know, just like a regular job like other people have. I don't know how the job security is or whatever it is, but it seems like it's a fairly sort of normal marketing position. I don't know. We'll see. We'll see what happens with that. But I've even got my phone on now in case my boss calls. Like I'm organizing shoots and all sorts of things. It's fairly interesting work. It is interesting. It's a little hard to think about the fact that I am not going to play as much and stuff like that. But I think there's a way about that. And if you guys want to write me about that, give me a write. Tell me how you do it. I know there are some of you out there that still produce and at the same time work full time. Tell me how you do it, you know, and then I can share it with the listeners. You can email me at brett@brettwilliamsmusic.com. You can also donate at brettwilliamsmusic.com. It's never too late to donate. All right, it's right there on the right-hand side of the screen, any of the subpages. You know, that means like you click on podcast or whatever, and it's right there. But yeah, go to CasperTrial.com/insider and get yourself a mattress. That's what I'd really like. That'll make me a happy boy. And so Guido takes us through how to become a professor. Now, I don't even know. It seems like the thing is that you have to move. I don't want to give anything away, but you got to be willing to relocate, and you got to be willing to go to places that you might have written off. You might have thought were too remote, too far away from your family, too far away from where it's all happening artistically and stuff like that. But there's plenty of these progressive towns all over the place, and we talk about that, and it's good living. Now, I've got this romantic notion about New York City that keeps me from leaving and maybe slowly killing me because I'm sort of addicted to the fact that I've been able to do anything here and make it work in any way. And I just feel like, you know, you're so close to everything. You know, like it's like even if I wanted to get into something else, you know, any other kind of work, it's all right here. You know, this marketing, all that, that's right here. I don't know if that's going to take place in Urbana, Illinois. I don't know if I could, you know, do that. I don't know if I could try stand up for real in another time. I could try it, but it wouldn't be. So there's all sorts of like options here. But once you've made that decision that you're going to follow that dream and become a guitar professor, this is probably the way to do it. I mean, it was certainly my dream for a long time. I kind of pictured myself just, you know, you have your teacher and he seems like he's doing well, and you go, wow, you know, I want to live like that. But you know, the reality of the situation is, and I'm not trying to sound bitter. I know that some people think I'm bitter whenever I talk about careers and stuff like that. And I think you should go for it to an extent, but you have to also really, really understand, I can't say this enough, a lot of times the money's coming from somewhere else, and this is something that someone is doing. And there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with somebody having money from something else, and then what they do all day is not necessarily generating that much money. There's nothing wrong with that. That's the way it worked for hundreds of years. You know, after the church got rid of music, it was basically the aristocracy. And now we're, you know, now that we've, you know, now with the rise of the middle class, we now have to navigate how to make money in a commercial environment as artists. And that's difficult. It's a difficult situation. I've had people with money have sort of, I've gone out with them. I've had a couple of beers with them. They've asked me about my situation. I told them about my situation. You know about my situation. I'm broke. But, you know, I'll tell them about it. And I can tell that they're thinking about giving me some money. I can tell. It's like this little glint in their eye. But, you know, I can see the wheels turning too while they're thinking about it. And they're thinking about, like, well, what? How can I give this guy money, and then you know, take his talent, which I know he's got talent. What? How is that going to yield any money? Not for them. I don't think they're thinking about, like, well, how am I going to make money on my investment with Brett Williams? That's not all what I'm thinking. That I think that they're thinking about giving me the gift of a bedrock on which I can build, you know, some sort of financial thing. You know, that they're going to fertilize so that I can, you know, yield from those crops. I'm putting it in much more shitty poetic terms than I need to. But they want me to be able to become financially independent with whatever money they put into a venture of mine, whether it be an album, a podcast, you know. And people have donated to the show. A lot. And people have donated to the last album. A lot, in my opinion. I think it's a lot of money. And, you know, you see the wheels turning, but then the lights go out because they're like, I can't see how this is going to make money. You know? And so we're all in this situation where we sort of have become dependent on academia. And we're, you know, that's come to mean something. It's come to mean a career. It's come to mean stability. It's come to mean going to work every day. It's become something that people want that you can give them, rather than you trying to convince people that they want you. Right? You go to work, you do the job, and that's a beautiful feeling. We've talked about all these things before, but I think it you know, warrants a quick little conversation before the interview, because that's what the interview is about. The interview is about how to, or an approach to becoming a college professor. And it is the dream for a lot of us, but he did it, and he waited, and he was patient, and he was willing to make a lot of sacrifices. And let's hear from him now. This is from the Elnora Guitar Festival at the University of Illinois, Krannert Center for the Performing Arts. This is the professor and founder of the guitar program at the University of Illinois, Guido Sanchez. This is your first year as the professor of guitar at the University of Illinois.
That is correct.
I mean, that's a huge achievement to be, you know, at a flagship university and start. And are you starting the guitar program?
I think
you are, right? Yes. There's no guitar program.
There hasn't been a guitar program at the University of Illinois ever. This is the first time they actually do it. Some people have actually called it a historical accident, or, you know, like something ridiculous.
Right.
That for so many years, decades of existence of the School of Music, especially here in the Midwest, where there's such a vibrant classical guitar. I mean, you just go to Indianapolis and there's a classical guitar society. Bloomington, Indiana. You go to Bloomington, Illinois, they have a program. You go to Milliken, Decatur, they have a program there. And Champaign, Illinois, with such a good school of music, and with the El Nora Guitar Festival every 2 years, which brings la creme de la creme of guitarists,
unreal.
They did not have a guitar program. So we finally made it happen this year after pretty much talking about it for about 3 years, I would say.
Yeah.
We have been in talks. I have been in talks with the director of the School of Music ever since I moved here, which was like 3 years ago, doing freelancing, and I had my own private studio,
So let's actually talk about that, because now that you have gamed the system and you've gotten the dream. The dream for a lot of people is for the majority of us is to have our own studio at a major university that you know has the funding and the facilities to back up a robust competitive program. And if you don't mind sharing, but how do you want to share some of the secrets or some of the things you did? I think you started doing that, but you were saying in as much detail as you feel comfortable sharing. Like how does someone do that? I mean, I know I met your wife, and she had said she was the reason you moved out here. You guys moved. You had to be here.
Right. Yeah. I mean, you know, there.
Because we're not in Chicago.
No, there's only a certain amount of stars that can align in a place like this one to make something like this happen.
Yeah, it's still a big. Kind of a big place.
Well, I mean, if you compare it to big cities, then it is not.
Yeah.
But if you compare it to some other towns around here, then especially the campus itself, then yes.
Right.
I mean, it's a big campus and it's pretty vibrant. It has it's one of the most diverse campuses in the country, right? I think it was ranked like with international students. It's probably one of the between one and two or three, I don't know, in terms of the amount of international students that come here.
Yeah.
So it's very diverse. There's a lot of culture
going
on here for such a small town.
So even I mean, and there's plenty of coffee shops, there's a couple of bars, there's a couple of things to do.
Right.
You know, it's not like there's nothing going on. And we have this huge guitar festival here,
yes,
for instance.
Yes.
A lot of good people.
Yeah.
Everybody's nice. but you know, getting here, I'm assuming she has family here?
She has been working here for about 10 years now, mm-hmm. or more.
At the university?
For the linguistics department. She's not a musician.
Okay. Good call.
You know, we've all been there with musicians. We've all been there with non-musicians.
I'm doing it right. Doing the best I can with one right now. Go ahead.
I mean, I was living, before I met her, I was living in Bloomington, Indiana, which is where I graduated. Mm-hmm. And I was doing the whole adjunct thing that everybody does at some point after they graduate.
Okay, so you're adjuncting at Bloomington.
Yes, in the Jacobs School of Music. What I was doing there is I was directing the Latin American Popular Music Ensemble, which I did for many years as a student, and then as a TA.
So you went to Bloomington.
Yes.
Okay.
And then when I graduated, they gave it to me as the actual director of the ensemble. Mm-hmm. And we did a lot of great things with that ensemble. We recorded a couple of CDs, one of them with I produced and I directed with the Grammy Award singer Sylvia McNair.
Yeah.
There's even a very, very nice duet that we, her and I did of Insensatez, also known as How Insensitive by Jobim. And, you know, that it was a very fun time for me. Lots of very, very cool things that we did. We had a lot of guests.
Yeah.
And, you know, me being from Costa Rica, I have a lot of that background of Latin American music. I know a lot about popular Latin American music from not only from Costa Rica, obviously, but from all over the world. I mean, all over Latin America.
Mm-hmm.
And I was very happy doing that, except for the part that it wasn't a full-time job. So I was looking around and everything, and then at that point I met my wife.
Right.
And I saw that the adjunct thing in Bloomington wasn't going anywhere. So I decided, whatever, screw it, I'll move. And I'll start creating my own thing. I'll create my own path. I'm going to first, since I did research.
Here we go. So yes. Let's do this. Yeah. This is it. My man doing it. Cheers. I should have had a beer with you.
You have
man.
A coffee, I have a beer.
Yeah, that's good.
So
well, I'm not a professor yet, so I still got to text.
Well, it's Saturday, so I think I deserve it, man.
Oh, man, you do. You've been doing it. You did a good job. So anyway, step one.
Yes.
Step one.
Step one is to meet a girl.
100%.
That's the step
one. You got to settle down, folks.
No, I mean, step one is, in my case, it was at least, to find a place that you see that is fertile to, like, the classical guitar culture or classical guitar.
Has potential.
Yes. And when I saw the University of Illinois, I immediately went to the website of the School of Music and I saw, okay, so they don't have a guitar program here. There's nobody says here guitar. Nothing says guitar. So there we go. I mean, I'm going to go there and I'm going to go, hey, hi, I'm here. Hire me. Right? To a certain extent.
I'll do whatever it takes.
Right. But in all honesty, that's pretty much what it was at the beginning. I immediately started contacting everybody at the School of Music, especially the director. And I told him, hey, I'm a classical guitarist, blah, blah, blah. I gave him all the introduction. And then I told him, would you be interested in offering? At that time, I was actually releasing my...
And you have a doctorate.
Yes. Okay. At that time, I was releasing my debut album, which is a CD of my own music.
Mm-hmm.
And I
heard it. It's great music.
Thank you.
Your three movement. What's it called?
You can call it a triptych, I guess. What I played the other night. Two of those pieces are included in the CD. So at that time, I had that CD, and I was touring. Let's call it touring. I was trying to like arrange a series of concerts all over the place, wherever I could, and. I would drive myself there, and if they paid me $300-$400 for the concert, then amazing, that's great.
Yeah.
If not, then at least I would get to promote the CD and go to nice places. And I came with that. I pitched the whole "Let's do a concert at your school. I have this CD. Let's see what we can do." And he said, "Yeah, that's fine. We have no money. That's fine. Okay, no money. But it's only 3 hours away from Bloomington, so I just have to drive 3 hours, do the concert." I was already dating. Who was to be my wife? Who was here? So everything was set up for me to come here and do the concert and feel almost at home. So that was my first interaction with the School of Music here, getting invited for a concert.
And they were like, "We don't have any money, but you can play on the stage."
I didn't play Cranert. I played at one of their main auditoriums of the School of Music, Smith Hall, which is beautiful hall, especially for guitar.
A real acoustic chamber music
hall.
Yes,
yeah. Perfect for the guitar. And after that, I started the talks with the director of the School of Music to see if we could get something started, you know, at least get
dialogue.
Something. Yes, at least, you know, stir up a little bit the pot here and see what we can get going. And then, very unfortunately, the state of Illinois hit the budget impasse that prevented the state of Illinois from having a budget for more than 1 year. Or it was, I think it was almost 2 years.
I think that's called a government shut. Almost a government shutdown.
Yeah, I mean, what happened was the governor of Illinois did not approve a budget to work for the entire state for almost 2 years. The state didn't have any money, and the institutions that suffered the most were the higher education institutions, the state. Institutions, and there were a lot of layoffs, and there were a lot of people that lost their jobs. The University of Illinois was not that affected as some other universities in the state, but that meant that they were at least going to have the necessary emergency funds to survive. Yeah. But forget about talking about hiring funds, paying for somebody new, all that stuff. So it was a little bit disappointing because at that point, after I had such a nice, successful, let's call it introduction to the School of Music here and to campus with that concert and that presentation, then everything pretty much fell through. So at that point, I needed to make a decision. So what I did is I became an entrepreneur. I became really, really, really good at promoting myself. I became really good at advertising. I became really good at bugging people.
Right.
And, you know, and making things happen. Because, you know, unfortunately, I don't know if things are changing now with music programs, but unfortunately, my generation was never taught anything outside of, like, the academic environment.
Right.
So, like, we were never taught how to deal with marketing. We were never taught how to deal with self-promotion, business, doing business outside in the street.
Yeah.
And getting things work for you. We were always taught just to go in a cubicle by yourself and practice for 10 hours a day.
I think that you're addressing a huge issue, which is, I think, even, you know, even if we've talked about everything at this festival from the perspective of, I mean, we haven't talked so much about careers. We've been more in the art, but I think today it came up with somebody about how you have to diversify for business. I think that was Lulu Reinhardt and Daniel. And they were talking, they're very diverse, extremely diverse.
Yes.
So with them, I was sort of commending them on being diverse in a world that demands it. Now, the other thing is, no matter how diverse you are, we want to, people like you and me, we've been taught, you create a package, you create an album, you create an act, mm-hmm. and then you try and you peddle that.
Right.
And if you don't, but I feel like for us, it's like we try once and then we give up, you know, and that's not the way business works.
No.
Business is about hounding and bothering and making someone think that they need you and not giving up until they accept you.
And to never, and yeah, no, that's
what, like, you
that's,
do not stop calling people. If they tell you to stop, then you stop. But if they don't tell me to stop.
No, they just reject you. You get rejections, right. and that's the problem when you're talking about giving up. Is people get the first rejection and then they go like, and then their whole world gets shattered because of that one rejection, and then they give up. And that's what you need to be prepared for.
Well, because there's so many success stories of 17-year-olds that have never been rejected,
right?
And you know that seems to be the majority of the, you know, entertainment world
is absolutely false.
It's because not true.
In the real world, you will get rejected 99 times.
I think people need to understand that, the kids are not the real world.
No.
We're the real world.
Yes. Yeah. And good for them if it happens to somebody that they show something and they immediately get the attention of the entire world. That's great. That's great for them.
Happens in business, too. Yes. There are CEOs of major corporations and there are people who won't a shoe store.
Exactly. You know? Exactly. That's exactly right.
And there's more people that own the shoe store.
Yeah, there's a saying in Spanish it's from Costa Rica, from where I'm from. It says, I'm not religious by any means or anything, but you know, it comes from a religious background, this saying. It says, praying to God but hitting with a hammer, which means you ask God or you ask whatever for you want to have good luck, but you cannot have good luck if you're not working for it. You have to be working. So that's the hammering thing. You have to be hammering. You cannot just sit on your butt and wait for somebody to knock on your door.
Yeah.
And
which is what I was doing in here when I should have been up looking for you while you were waiting for me for 15 minutes. I'm really sorry.
No, it's good. You know, I was sitting there and I was like, okay, so I'm going to wait here. In the meantime, I'm going to go get a beer.
You're so patient. You're so patient for a classical guitarist. You must have been fuming.
And we both missed the Pat Metheny performance of the LA Guitar Quartet.
Yeah, we were both sitting there going like, you know, this is cool. We can do this. But now we're okay. Are we okay?
We're totally fine, dude.
Thank you, sir.
We're totally fine. Okay. In fact, we're having a beer after this or whenever you have time.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because I don't drink just one beer. If I drink one beer, it has to be two.
Oh, man. Well, we'll do it. Yeah. I mean, I'm stuck in here for the next couple hours. But yeah, definitely.
Well, in any case, going back to
Costa Rica, right. hammering, yes. hammering, but having luck.
Yeah, and you were saying something very important. You said to not give up. And that means, yes, people are, you're going to go and you're going to tell people your story and you're going to try to get them to do something for you. And the most likely response is going to be, thank you, but no thank you.
Right.
Right? Yeah. And you're going to get that one time. You're going to get it again. You're going to get it again. And then at some point, somebody will tell, oh, okay, so let me hear a little bit more. Let's see if we can work something out. And then... that's when you hit
everything you got.
Yes.
Yep.
And
little opportunity opens up itself. You make sure you're ready for it. Because I mean, I have also had opportunities to open up that I have just for whatever reason it's fallen through.
Right.
You know, like something goes bad or I'm not all in or
right.
You know, having a bad day. That happens a lot when you're younger, I think.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's all a learning.
And then you start realizing how few those opportunities are. It's a learning curve too.
It's a learning
curve. If you don't mind me asking, I mean, you're talking about your generation. I'm 40.
I'm 43.
You're 43. Mm-hmm. Oh man. So look how long you were hammering, dude.
Yeah. I graduated. I mean, I was kind of like you can call me a late bloomer.
So I got three more years. I got 3 more years in there.
Yeah, I was born in 1974.
Yeah.
You know, I really didn't start my master's degree until I was 29. And I finished my doctoral degree when I was, 38 or something like that.
Right.
So usually, at least here in the United States of America, you get to see people getting their doctorates when they're still in their late 20s or early 30s at the latest.
Right.
So I got my doctorate at my late 30s. And that doesn't matter because that doesn't mean that you have to wait until you get the doctorate to find a job or to look for a job. In fact, I was looking for a job before I even graduated, and that's how a lot of people do it. They start looking for jobs before you graduate, and then you hope that.
So you were looking for jobs for years.
Five or six. I think I started applying for jobs 1 year before I graduated in 2011. I graduated in 2012.
Yeah.
So I started in my first real job application, which was for a position in the University of Colorado at Boulder, was in February of 2011. So that and the first job full time that I landed was in August of 2017.
Right now.
So, yes. So 6 years, I guess it took me 6 years of hammering. Right. You know, I mean, in the classical guitar world, that is the norm, unfortunately. The guitar is not an instrument that is very popular so that you can put it in orchestra, in choir, in band, like
It's a hard sell.
It's a very hard sell. It's a very isolated world.
Yeah.
And it works for itself. It doesn't work for anybody else. There's chamber music.
Yeah. With
classical guitar and everything, but it's not the standard. It's like if you were at dessert. What's more important, the main course or the dessert? Right? The main course is what people are going to pay for.
If they
have some extra time and if they still don't feel full, they'll get some dessert. So I see ourselves as a little bit like a dessert in that sense that some schools have it. Most schools nowadays fortunately have it, but it's not a necessary thing.
The guitar is a nucleus, you know, unless it's a small city conservatory. It'd be weird. I don't know if that's ever going to change because you always need your orchestra. You can't be a school of music without your orchestra.
No, of course
without
not.
Your piano program.
Piano, orchestra, band, and that's it. Singers maybe.
Oh, hey. How are you? Come on in. So he's going to be maybe until about 2:15.
Okay, cool. Or I was trying to be quiet. Sorry.
Are you in any rush at all, or?
Not really. No.
Okay, cool. So I'm sorry. You guys know each other.
We've met, but we actually haven't officially met.
You're starting the new guitar program.
Yes,
here, right?
Guido.
Nice to meet you, David Spellman.
David.
Nice to meet you. Is the director of the whole thing, and this is the director of the new guitar program.
Well, I don't know if you can call me the director.
Not a state university. A university of. It's just a big deal. So we're talking about how he did it and how his struggle was. He told me, he said his first interview was 2011 at Boulder.
Yes.
And then you just hammered away at it.
Yeah.
Kids, if you're listening.
Yeah.
You're welcome. No, please. Well, you come back like 5 minutes or whatever. Or you can hang out. You can do whatever.
Cool.
All right. You sure?
Yeah.
All right, Dave. So anyway, you were saying that, and then you were telling people to focus and to listen and to wait. Yes. And to be patient.
Yes.
Right.
It takes time, you know. I mean, one of my friends was telling me he has a full-time position in the school district in Las Vegas. In Vegas, you know, where you wouldn't think that they have like a guitar program in the school district. It's like, we're talking about high schools.
Yeah.
Las Vegas. And he was telling me when I got this position, he was telling me, dude, you're about my only friend right now that actually has a full-time job at a university.
Yeah, I can't think of anybody who has it. And I'm talking about major players.
Yeah.
A real, like a big one, big guy.
Yes.
You know, I know people that work at small conservatories. Right. I know people that are everybody's an adjunct.
Everybody's an adjunct. I was an adjunct forever, man.
Well,
forever.
Adjunct is an interesting position because it gives you the ability to go out there and say, look, mom, look, dad, I got a job.
Mm.
It provides, in the best cases, enough money for you to kind of feel like you have a job. But in reality, you have no security. You have no dental. You have no health. And you don't really have that much money coming in. You just really are still, it's so uncomfortable. And after a certain amount of time, it just leads to a lot of heartbreak and a lot of sadness. And especially if you want to get married, I'm assuming you guys got married fairly recently then.
Yeah, 2 years ago.
So, and that's sort of my situation. I'm still single. And it's like, I think a lot of the things that are holding me back on doing that and starting a family and stuff like that is this position that we have either put ourselves in or that we've fallen into.
Yeah.
So the ingenuity of approaching places that have fertile ground, you know, was the word that you used for it.
Yeah, because, or, you know.
And really, because I wasn't willing. I'm a New Yorker. I lived in Austin. And then I was in, I'm from California. Like, right. I just was, 5 years ago, I was unwilling to move to a place like this. And now it seems like a dream come true.
Right.
Did you feel that way a little bit?
Well, the thing is that.
Because you were in a much bigger college town. You were in this, but this place is like a small.
You know what? It's not that much bigger. Mm. I would say if I were to compare.
Bloomington's not that much bigger?
Bloomington, Indiana with Champaign, Illinois, it's pretty much about the same.
Oh, so you must be still,
it's about the same. I mean, I've been living in the Midwest for 13 years now,
right.
Almost 14. And out of those, 10 were in Indiana.
Yeah.
So, you know, after coming from, people would ask me when I was in Indiana and they learned that I was from Costa Rica.
Right.
They were asking me, what in the world are you doing here if you came from paradise? You know, like,
well, that's true. It's my dad's favorite place on earth is Costa Rica. I've never been, but it's supposed to be the nicest.
It's very beautiful. It's I mean, you have
it's a lot of people's favorite Latin American destination.
Yes, it is. And you know, from a tourist standpoint, I mean, the beaches are just breathtaking. The volcanoes, nature itself,
the
mountains. Yeah, it has everything going on. But it's a small country, and there's only two big states. Two big universities that are state universities.
Right.
And they have, like, one university has four or five guitar professors and the other one has two. And they're nowhere near retiring or anything. So I saw immediately when I was doing my undergrad there that there was no future for me as a classical guitarist if I wanted to continue working in academia.
Yeah.
So the reason I came to the U.S. was, first of all, to pursue a doctoral degree, which in Costa Rica it doesn't exist, and also to seek out a place with a bigger, geographically speaking, place, you know, where you can find probably more opportunities. I mean, when I got here, I actually realized that it's not that much bigger in terms of opportunities. It's at least for the guitar.
Right.
But it's bigger geographically, which means that you can really get out there and explore. It's risky, I have to say, of course. I mean, a lot of people will not move unless they actually have something in concrete.
Right.
And that's absolutely logical, you know. But I would say if you're single and you don't have a family and you're still a student, then what's there to lose?
What's there to lose? Just keep doing it. Keep plugging away.
Do not stay on your ass.
Yeah, yeah.
And waiting for somebody to knock on your door.
Right. You can't do that. You can't wait for people to knock on your door. But they will.
Yeah.
I would love to talk longer. I'm very sorry. Sure. Again, this is my fault.
I plan on coming back.
I'm going to be back probably in a couple of years.
Okay.
And we'll talk again. I want to talk more about Costa Rica and your musical journey.
Yes.
But I really appreciate you sharing your professional
tips
and tricks from the pros.
No. You just got to do what you got to do, man. That's all.
Okay, so we'll have a beer after I finish up then, okay?
Yeah. And visit guidoguitar.com if you're interested.
Guido, and it's spelled like...
Like Guido, G-U-I-D-O.
Which I called you for the first 2 days.
I know that for all of you New Yorkers and New Jerseyers, the whole Guido thing is kind of weird, but that is my name, except that you don't pronounce it Guido, you pronounce it Guido in Spanish.
It's Guido.
Yeah.
And I mean, you're a hell of a guitarist too, so...
Thanks, I appreciate it.
I really want to talk to you again, okay?
All right, cool, man. I appreciate it.
I'll see you in a couple hours.
Yes.
All right, man.
Thank you.
That does it for my time with Guido Sanchez Portugues. This is his original composition for guitar off the album Trazos. He is performing Interface A4. And I will see you guys next time with Chris Eldridge and Julian Large. Thanks so much. Bye.